Okay, welcome everybody. This is part three of our spring series at the JCC, which is Insights into Shabbos. And I have to tell you something so nice. When Rachel and I were planning the series, thank you, Rachel, for your assistance. When we were planning, we said, what could the fourth part be? And we said Shabbos. And how everything is divinely arranged. What does the Torah men go through in this week's parasha, which is Parashas Emor, the Jewish calendar year? And in Vayikra 23:1, I did not bring Chumashim, this is not a text-based class, but I just want to point it out to you that it's very, very relevant that we're learning about Shabbos specifically this week. Hello, welcome. And this week's parasha, Parashas Emor, Vayikra 23:1, the Torah says, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar, God spoke to Moshe saying, speak to the Bnei Yisrael and say to them, Mo'adei Hashem, the Moed of Hashem. Moed is an appointed time, Asher tikru'u osam mikra'i kodesh, you shall declare them holy times. Elehem Mo'adei, they are my appointed festivals. That's how Art School translated it. But Mo'adai, Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch says, a Moed is an appointed time for man to meet with God. A Moed, we call the festivals Mo'adim, is an appointed time for man to meet with God. And then the very first Moed that the Torah presents in this week's parasha in Leviticus 23:3, Sheish yamim te'asa malacha, 6 days you shall work, u'bayam hashvi, and on the seventh day, Shabbat, Shabbaton, Mikra, Kodesh, it is a holy day, call it holy, declare it holy, it is Shabbos, call Malacha lo ta'asu, shall cease from doing Malacha, Shabbat, hi la Hashem, it is Shabbos for Hashem, b'chol mosh v'seichem, in all of your dwellings. So when the Torah in this week's parsha opens up and speaks about, and it goes through the whole calendar year, the Torah mentions Pesach, Sukkah, Shavuos, etc. When the Torah mentions the Mo'adim in this week's parsha, it specifically starts with Shabbos. So it's very nice that we are learning together insights into Shabbos. Disclaimer to this class. This class is not at all halachic based. I am not a Rav. I am not teaching anybody Hilchos Shabbos. This is hashkafic and hopefully to enhance for all of us, myself included in preparation and learning with you the course, our appreciation of what is Shabbos hashkafically for all questions of halacha. Please ask your Rav. This is not halacha at all. The Chafetz Chaim said about Shabbos, the Chafetz Chaim said Shabbos is the heart of Judaism. That's what the Chafetz Chaim said. Before everything else, in a person, he says, the vitality of one's heart has to be assured. And he gives a mashal, a parable, and he says, one time a person was sick. In his extremities, he was sick, and they called many doctors, and every doctor for his specialty, his field, said, this is not well, this is not well, and finally an elderly doctor stood up and said, this man's heart is not well. First we have to heal his heart, and then we can focus on the other aspects of his bodies. And the Chafetz Chaim said that the analogy is to us, hi, come in, here, Terry, here, come in. The analogy is as follows. He says, for our many sins, we are spiritually weak. We have to appreciate that the Chafetz Chaim probably wrote this 100 years ago, at least. We are spiritually weak. And to cure the various spiritual ailments that affect the body of Jewry, first we have to heal the heart. What is the heart? Shmirah Shabbos, the keeping of the Sabbath, which we saw is commanded and outlined in this week's parasha. And he says, Shabbos is the foundation of Jewish faith. Without Shabbos, he writes, says the Chafetz Chaim, there can be no Judaism. Shabbos is a sign. We're going to talk about what it means that it's a sign. It's a visible and tangible indication that the divine ruler of the world rests in our heart, in our spirit, and in our homes. I will tell you something beautiful, because the Chafetz Chaim says Shabbos is the foundation of Judaism. Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav, says, we have survived 2,000 years without the Beis HaMikdash. We would not have survived at all without Shabbos. It's a quote from the Rav. He says we can survive. Is it optimal? That doesn't mean we're happy we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Let's not misinterpret what the Rav says. That's not what that means at all. However, without Shabbos, says Rav Salvation, it ties very much into what the Chafetz Chaim says, it being the foundation of Judaism, we would not have survived at all. So there's a pasuk in Sefer Shemos. Shabbos is mentioned many times in the Torah, not only in this week's parasha. The pasuk on Sefer Shemos, which is Shemos 31:13. Va'ata daber al b'nei Yisrael, you Moshe shall speak to the b'nei Yisrael, leimor. And you should say, ach es Shabbos. Sorry, what's your name?
Lynn.
Lynn?
Uh-huh.
Hi, I'm Micha.
Hi.
I just know everyone else's name around this table.
Okay.
Ach es shabsos I tishmu, you shall keep my Sabbaths. Ki osi. What is an os? It is a sign. Beini ubeinechem, between God and us, ledorasechem, for generations. So first of all, it's shabsos, my Sabbaths. That's the word that's used. Tishmu, you shall guard. A shomer is a guard. We're going to talk about Shabsosai, my Sabbaths. We're going to talk about Tishmu. I'm just giving you an overview. We're going to go through them. Tishmu, what does it mean to guard Sabbath? Ki osi, what does it mean that it is a sign? And what does it mean, Ledora Seichem, that it is for generations? This is a verse from Exodus 31:13. In English we say, and speak to the Bnei Israel. Moshe should speak to the Bnei Israel, saying, my Sabbath, Shabsosai, you shall observe. Ki os, observe, tishmu, let's translate it as guard. Ki osi, it is an os, or a sign between me and you, a covenant for generations. How can a mitzvah be given for generations? Those are some of the things we're going to talk about today. Rav Chaim Shmuel Hirsch, in his commentary on Torah on this pasuk, Rabbi Hirsch writes, Shmira, to guard something, is the main point of this command. Rav Chaim Shmuel Hirsch says, the use of this term teaches us Shabbos is a precious possession given to us and entrusted to our care. Let's say, you know, the Gemara talks about a shomer sachir and a shomer chinam. A shomer sachir is a hired guard. If you leave your iPhone with somebody because you're, I don't know, going scuba diving, you can either pay them, they're a shomer sachir, or they can do you a favor, and they're a shomer chinam. But either way, they're a guard. They're guarding what? Your possession. Rav Chaim Shmuel Hirsch says, the fact that the pasuk uses the word tishmeru, the root of which is shamar, to guard, teaches us that the Sabbath is not a day, it is rather a precious possession given to us and entrusted to our care. All the duties of shomrim are entrusted to us in regard to Shabbos. Just like a shomer, a guard, has to be careful to watch your iPhone when you're scuba diving, right? You have certain responsibilities. We can't be negligent towards the Sabbath, he says. We can't lay our hands on it. Obviously, that means figuratively. We must never lose sight of it, nor tamper with it according to our own ideas. If a shomer sachir, or somebody's hired to watch your iPhone, you know, they can't go in and download new apps because they feel like it. They are a paid guard to guard your iPhone. Shabbos, he says, lahavda, I'm sorry, I'm just using it as a tangible example. We can't tamper with it according to our own ideas. You know, I feel I should be doing X, Y, and Z on Sabbath, but the Torah says you should be doing A, B, and C. You can't do X, Y, and Z. He writes, we have to be scrupulous and vigilant. Vigilant. In fending off anything that might damage the treasure entrusted to our care. So, as Shabsosai Tishmeru, you're a guard. And just like a guard has obligations towards what he is guarding, just like a babysitter has obligations towards this child, or a paid guard has obligations towards the item, we are simply guarding Shabbos. Moreover, what does it mean when the pasuk says Shabsosai, my Sabbaths? It doesn't say keep Sabbath, it says my Sabbaths. He says, this is very beautiful.
Shemitah.
Yes. Say it again.
Shemitah. Isn't Shabtotai referring maybe to the further laws of Shemitah?
Oh, are we referring to Shemitah here?
Sorry, interrupt.
Okay, very nice. Very nice. I'm not sure if Rashi says that. Mm. Perhaps.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. My class are supposed to be interactive. I don't have a Shemos here. Perhaps, okay, in the plural, Shabsosai, my Sabbath, maybe we're referring to when the land has to rest. Okay, very nice. But I'm sure Fal Hirsch learns out something else. He says, each individual Shabbos is a sacred, unique asset from amongst God's holy things. So God has this treasure trove, however we understand that, under his throne of glory, of holy things. Each Sabbath, Shabsosai, each one is its own gift, is its own holiness. So in other words, when it tells us to guard the Sabbath, it's not a package deal. It's not one package encompassing all the Sabbaths of our life. Each one is on its own, special and holy. Yes?
I just remember when I was little, they always used to say, if you keep like two Shabbosim in a row, Mashiach will come. Is that like why it's plural? Like it's two of them? As opposed
I believe, to I just saw that some reason. I believe it's Chazal who say that.
It's Chazal? I thought it was Lubavitch always.
No. I could be wrong.
I really did.
I just recently saw it somewhere. I don't remember where. I just recently saw it somewhere, and I believe that it's Chazal who say it. I believe it's a Gemara. I could definitely be wrong. But we could look it up. If we remember, if you remind me after your Chavad, we could look it up.
That's why when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, they say that's like two Shabbosos.
Oh, Yom Kippur is called Shabbat Shabbaton. And we just saw in our Pasuk, Shabbos in Parshas Emor is also called Shabbat Shabbaton. So if you have the entire world Jewry keeping Yom Kippur and Sabbath, then you have Shabbat Shabbaton and Shabbat Shabbaton. Halavai. If he doesn't come before this Tishrei, maybe.
Yom Kippur is like...
Right. And they're both called Shabbat Shabbatan.
Right.
Okay. So Rav Hirsch writes, each actual Sabbath day renews our responsibility toward Shabbos and demands that we devote ourselves to it once again as its keepers. So first of all, what this teaches us is that with each Shabbos that comes, we need the same excitement, vitality, beauty, menuchas hanefesh, tranquility of the soul. When we welcome her in each time, we should be as excited as if it was the first time I welcomed Shabbos, which is, for some people, you know, I've spoken about Shabbos before in different communities. 1 minute, Yocheved, please. And some people say, you know, I'm as excited for every Shabbos as I am for the previous ones. That's kol kavod. For some people, I'm not saying that people at this table, maybe yes, maybe no, some people, like, we keep Shabbos, but sometimes you lose the excitement for it. I'm not saying it's you or not you. Rav Sham Shemfal Hirsch is teaching us that every single Shabbos is its own gift, he says, from God's holy treasures. And it is to be, when it is entrusted to our care, we have to understand that it's as if we were guarding it for the first time. Yeah.
I also learned that when, like, once Shabbos is over, like toward the beginning of the week, you're supposed to have a designated day for every day to prepare again for Shabbos. Like, I like to do that. Like, I'll make my menu one day, I'll go shopping for certain things one day.
And, oh, very nice.
And every day you're supposed to like prepare for the following, for the
that's
coming up Shabbos.
That's starting Wednesday. Up until Tuesday, you're looking back towards the Shabbos.
Right.
And that's,
so just,
you don't have to do Sunday and Monday.
So just yesterday, I was learning with somebody, and I told her we're going to learn Parshas Kedoshim. I wanted to learn Parshas Kedoshim with her, and she said, why? And I said, till Tuesday we can learn. I mean, you can always learn Kedoshim. I said, it's till Tuesday. All right, let's go on.
That's a great idea,
man. I love doing it.
Well, it is. It's Hayom Yom. It we is, count every day two Shabbos, so it's the whole concept.
Even if you're like,
right?
Having company.
You share Shabbos.
Yeah. Right. Right. So I'm saying every day you're counting, and everything's in reference to Shabbos.
All right, ladies, let's go on. Rav Sham Shemfal Hirsch says, from days of old, ever since man existed, which is true, Adam Arishon, when was he created?
Shabbos.
Erev Shabbos. Shabbos also existed so that man should be sanctified through it. So in God given, that didn't happen any of the other times I was here. So that God, and here I said no cell phones on the table.
It's a wrong answer. Phone should not be
right. All right. It's going to stop in a minute.
Maybe they're calling us. You know?
Thank you.
That's what I do at
no,
home.
You know, what's going to happen now? They're going to call back.
Telephone.
All right. Ladies, let's focus. From days of old, ever since man existed, Shabbos existed so that man should be sanctified through it. So the difference with the, I want to point something out. Even though Sham Shemfal Hirsch says we're a shomer, we spoke about a shomer sachir versus a shomer chinam, and we gave the analogy of watching somebody's iPhone. The difference is, God wants us to use his gift. We're not a shomer who's not allowed. So when Rav Hirsch says don't touch it, it means in the wrong way. That's why I said if you have halachos, questions halachos, ask your shayla. It's not that we're not supposed to do anything with it. Rav Hirsch writes, so we should be sanctified through it. So we are a shomer, but on the other hand, whereas a shomer is not allowed to, let's say, put an app on my iPhone but just because he wants to, we're supposed to actually utilize the gift of Sabbath for in the way it's meant to be utilized. And Rav Soloveitchik tells over the following medrash. This is a medrash from, if you want the source, Medrash Rus Rabba 3:2. Rav Soloveitchik tells over the following Medrash. The sages tell us, the Medrash tells a strange story. That's what Rav Soloveitchik says. Hadrian, the famous emperor during the time of Bar Kokhba, said to Rabbi Yehoshua Bar Hananya, who he knew well. Some of you are nodding. If you've heard it, bear with me. We can always relearn Torah. Who he knew well. So Hadrian came to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania and he said, there is a statement in your scriptures, a dog which is alive is superior to a lion which is dead. I think we can understand that, right? A dog that's alive is superior to a lion that is dead. The lion that's dead has no use. The dog at least is alive. If so, said Hadrian, I am superior to Moses, your teacher. Okay, I'm a dog, but I am a living dog. No, this is the Medrash. Moses, this is Chazal. Moshe Rabbeinu is a lion, the way you classify him, but he's a dead lion. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania said, are you ready for a test in order to find out if you're right or wrong? So Hadrian said yes. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanani said, make a law. No one in Rome should light a match or a fire within a 24-hour period. During that 24-hour period, no one's allowed to light a match or a fire. All of Rome will get along in the dark for that 24-hour period. Whoever violates the law, execution, put to death. Hadrian said, fine. I'm not going to do that. Not one day, 3 days. 3 days in the entire empire, no fire. At the end of 3 days, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania went to Hadrian and he said, let's go up to the roof and let's see what we see. And what did they see? Smoke curling up from the streets. You see, said Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania, you're a living lion, but your edict is not carried out. Moshe said, Es Shabsosai Tishmeru, my Sabbaths you should guard, which is the verse we are expanding. If you go up onto the roof, you won't find a candle for miles and miles. Apparently, Moshe's authority is greater and stronger than yours. That's the Medrash. Rav Soloveitchik comments on this Medrash and he says, we observe the law. Sometimes it's a difficult law to be observed. All the laws of the Torah, sometimes they're difficult. But he says we don't have a police department. Without a police department, without coercion, without fear of jail, nobody's going to put us in jail. We don't need a physical fence or a boundary around the law. And this is especially relevant, well, it's relevant to all of us, and it's also relevant, I think, in passing on the Masorah to the next generation. We're still going to speak about it, but the end of that verse was L'dor of Seichem, to your generations, and that the next generation should not see Sabbath, the Shabbos, the treasure that we have received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a time of restriction and pain. And no, you can't do this, and no, you can't do that. We have to somehow ensure that the legacy we pass on is that it's a time of beauty, a time of a living lion, and not, chas v'shalom, a dead one. So I saw something very, very nice. We said that we have to use the Kedusha of Shabbos. And we have to teach other people, the Dor Seichem. It's not just for us. I don't exist for myself. All of Yehadus is really like that. I don't exist for myself in a vacuum. I exist, well, for other people as well. The program, was anybody at the Sunday night Yochavirot's program at Beth Shalom? It was very, very moving. And I took two of my kids, actually. We don't exist for ourselves. We have a message, the Dor Seichem, to pass on the Mesorah to the next generations. And it's especially true about Shabbos. And when we keep it properly, the way it's meant to be kept, we can, number one, make a Kiddush Hashem, which is a mitzvah in this week's parasha, Parashas Emor, to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. The Rav Hirsch says, through our actions, we have the ability to sanctify the divine name. And we have the ability not only to sanctify the divine name, and not only to increase our own spirituality, but to pass the message on to other people. So Rabbi Pesach Kron tells over this beautiful story. It's very, very powerful. Rabbi Dr. Philip Zimmerman was the founder of Frida Vitamins. You know Frida Vitamins? Mm-hmm. In 1953, he was chaplain in the U.S. Army, and he was stationed in Georgia. One Friday night, a serviceman from New York came, and he said, Chaplain, I need your help. I have three letters here. The first letter says, I'm supposed to be transferred to Korea on Sunday. The second and third letters are from my parents' cardiologists. My parents and I survived the Holocaust. This was in 53. I am their only child. If they find that I was transferred to Korea, they will die of trauma, and the cardiologist writes it in these letters. So he showed the chaplain the letters, and he says, please help me. So Rabbi Zimmerman had no idea how he could help this young man. Chaplains, this wasn't really their department in the army, to decide who gets transferred where. But the next morning, which was Shabbos, he was supposed to be transferred Sunday. He came to see the chaplain Friday night, which was Shabbos. He walked 6 miles to the military commander on base. 6 miles. Yes? That's very far. I ran in 50 minutes on the treadmill 4 miles, and that's going very quickly. He walked 6 miles. Chaplain, what are you doing here so early? The commander asked. No, I want us to understand how far he walked. What are you doing here so early? The commander asked. I need a favor. A service. You said something?
I'm back.
Don't ruin the story, Syria. Don't ruin the story. A serviceman came to me last night and told me he's supposed to be transferred to Korea, but his parents are Holocaust survivors. They are so frail, they will die from the fright. I have letters from the doctors attesting to this. The commander became very angry, and he said, what are you talking about? He didn't even look at the letters. He says, the United States is at war. And he grabbed the chaplain's jacket, and he writes that the jacket of the chaplaincy, does anybody know if this is used to be? He writes it, had the Acerisa Dibrots on its lapel. Okay, we could look it up online. I'm taking Rabbi Cohen's word for it. You see these tablets, said the chaplain, they're made of stone. Do you know why they're made of stone? Stone can't be broken. Well, my laws are like stone. They can't be broken. No exception, no transfers. The chaplain felt terrible because it was obvious there was nothing he could do. He turned around and he left. And he starts to
walk back.
All of a sudden, the military commander is beside him, and he said to him, Chaplain, where's your jeep? I have no jeep, sir. What do you mean you have no jeep? How did you get here? I walked, sir. You walked 6 miles from your camp to here? Yes, sir, I walked. How are you getting back? I'm going to walk the 6 miles back, sir. Why didn't you take a jeep or have someone drive you? Today is the Sabbath, and I can't drive in the jeep. You walked 6 miles for the serviceman. You're going to walk another 6 miles? Yes, sir. Come back to my office, said the commander. And I want to tell you something. Kiddush Hashem is in this week's parasha also. It's Parashas Emor 22:32. Yochaved, we're going to talk about it tomorrow. 22:32. Lo sichalalu Hashem kodshi, you shall not defile or profane my holy name. The nikdashti besoch b'nei Yisrael. I will become holy and sanctified amongst the b'nei Yisrael. I am God who sanctifies you. And Rav Hirsch says, and Rav Soloveitchik speaks about it. Kiddush Hashem is dying for Kiddush Hashem. That's clear. But it's also living by Kiddush Hashem. And through all of our actions, we actually have the ability to bring the flow of Kedusha, of holiness, down to this world. He said, come back to my office, said the commander. He looked over the letters. He picked up the phone. He called the second in command. He ordered that the serviceman be transferred to Governor's Island in New York with a command that he may visit his parents whenever he wish. Rav Soloveitchik says, and that's the koach of Shabbos. We have to appreciate that when we keep it properly, the impact it can make on other people. Rav Soloveitchik says, there, we have Shabbos and we have the Mishkan. 4 times in the Torah, when the Torah commands us to build the Mishkan, it also commands us to keep Shabbos. 4 times in the Torah. You know the parashios? I'm not testing you, I'm asking you, I don't remember.
No, I don't know, but I know that there's always a correlation between Shabbos and Mishkan.
So correct. So Rashi says building of the Mishkan is important, but when it comes to Shabbos, stop, right? So in other words, Shabbos, building of the Mishkan doesn't push off Shabbos. If you're in the middle of building and Sabbath comes, what do you have to do? Stop your work. Rav Soloveitchik says something else, and he says Shabbos is a sanctuary in time. That's what he calls Shabbos, a sanctuary in time. And the Mishkan is a sanctuary in space. And that is 2 foundations of our nation. He says, what's the lesson? Hashem wants his people to establish a residence for God in our time, that's Shabbos, and in our space, that's the Mishkan. Rav Soloveitchik writes, the Jew, this is a quote because we're going to talk about this in a minute, the Jew who has prepared properly for Shabbos and who lights the candles finds himself in the same position as the Jew of 2,000 years ago prepared to enter the Mishkan or the Mikdash. The Mishkan in the desert, and then the Mikdash in Jerusalem, of course. Rav Soloveitchik says that the Jew who is properly prepared for Shabbos and lights the candles, in other words, we are entering into Shabbos, finds himself in the exact same position as the Jew of 2,000 years ago who entered into God's sanctuary. Hashem wants a sanctuary in time and a sanctuary in space. The verse says in Shemos 25:8, Va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, you shall make for me a mikdash, a sanctuary, so that I may dwell amongst you. So today we no longer have the building of the Mishkan. We're not giving the gold and the silver and the copper and the red wool and the ramskins and the tachashim. That's no more. So
I just have to get some.
Okay, sure.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. So how are we building a Mishkan for him today? One of the ways we build a Mishkan for God today is through what? Shabbos. We no longer have that sanctuary in space of the Mishkan, and we are left with our sanctuary in time. And keep in mind, I told you, if Soloveitchik says we've survived 2,000 years without the Mikdash, we could not have survived at all without Shabbos. Okay. Shabbos clothing. I'm not like, you'll hear, listen. Quote, this is from the biography by Faith Alone, the story of Rabbi Yehuda Amital. It's excellent. I know the last book I recommended, a number of people emailed me and said, we can't get this. It was the Haggadah of Rabbi Lau. I believe that this book is still in print. It is very readable and inspirational. By Faith Alone, the story of Rabbi Yehuda Amital. He was a Holocaust survivor and the grandson-in-law of Isser Zalman Meltzer, and he was a Hesder Rosh Yeshiva. Quote, keeping mitzvot in the slave labor camp, page 113 from the biography, was not a simple task. He was in a slave labor camp. Yehuda, that's how it says in the book, Rav Yehuda Amital Zichrono Levracha, managed to keep kosher. He ate bread and onions. He managed to put on tefillin every day. So clearly the conditions in his camp were different than conditions in a concentration camp. This is a direct quote from the book. But he was forced to violate the Sabbath in order to work. Nevertheless, he tried to mark the beginning of Shabbos in various ways whenever he could. If he was able to, on Friday he would put a clean shirt in his pocket. When he calculated that Shabbos came based on his calculations, he would quickly take off his sweaty shirt, put on his new shirt, and he quietly declared Shabbos. And he was filled with the satisfaction that he was able to mark the transition from profane to holy even while he was working. That's an excerpt from that book. This is no small matter because the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos states, quotes the pasuk from Rus, and you shall bathe and anoint yourself and put on your garments. These, the Gemara says, are the garments of Shabbos. You shall bathe, anoint yourself, and put on your garments, says the Gemara. These are the garments of Shabbos. Rav Pinkas, Rav Shimshon Pinkas, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, explains the idea of changing into Shabbos clothing is learned from the big day kahuna, the priestly garments. Rav Pinkas makes a beautiful, beautiful comparison. We've already seen that Rav Soloveitchik says we are comparing Sabbath to the sanctuary, a sanctuary in space and a sanctuary in time. When we enter Sabbath, we are like the Jew entering the Mikdash 2,000 years ago. Let's explore this idea a little bit further. Rav Pinkas says the idea of changing into Sabbath clothing is based on the priestly garments, the big day kahuna. The Gemara explains in Masechta Shabbos 114a, what is the source of changing one's garments for Shabbos? And the Gemara quotes the pasuk, and the Kohen shall remove his garments and wear different ones. So when the Gemara teaches that we put on Shabbos clothing, it quotes a pasuk from Sefer Vayikra, the Kohen shall change his garments and put on new clothing. From here we see, says Rav Pinkas, that Shabbos clothing are like the big day kahuna. Just as the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash had special garments, on Shabbos we have special garments. When the Kohanim entered the Beis HaMikdash, they were devoting to serving God. And he says, on Shabbos we wear special or different clothing because we are special, more elevated people. If God gives us a treasure trove to hold on to for that one day, then we become elevated through it. So practically, I just want to say practically, if it's something we're not so strong in, this might is a nice area to possibly try and strengthen ourselves in. Even if it's a special shmata skirt, like I have a long black shmata skirt, but you know, that's what I happen to wear on Shabbos, on Friday night, but you can put on a nice sweater. You know, sometimes people I've seen, they're very rushed Friday, so they light the candles, you know, in their jean skirt and base bug up. I'm not saying not to light the candles. If you have 2 minutes, think of Rav Yehuda Amital, who in the... What is that?
Fax.
A fax? Oh. What is going on in our room today? All right. Think of Rav Yehuda Amital in the slave labor camp. If he managed to change his clothing, then we should try. We take it from the Kohanim, that's what the source in the Gemara is, to put on something different for Shabbos. Even if it's comfortable for Shabbos. Maybe it's not so appropriate to light the candles, in you know, a jean skirt or a baseball, or someone only deserves
about,
a baseball.
What about
a
robe? Wear a Shabbos robe. Yeah.
Okay, so if that's your special robe, that's
designated for Shabbos usually. The Shabbos robe. Yeah.
But that's your special Shabbos
right,
robe.
That's different. Yeah.
First of all, this isn't. I'm not passing la halacha. Does everybody understand? But if we're trying to enhance Shabbos, and if the Gemara actually speaks about there is an inyan to change your clothing, it's from the Gemara. It's from Chazal, and we're trying to pass this on the Dor Seichem, that our children should see that what? We don't treat Shabbos in the same way that we treat the weekday. I don't come to light the candles looking like, I don't know, I just cooked in the kitchen all day. Just 2 minutes, put on something different. I don't know, Yochev, you said Shabbos, but anything for me, let's say a different ticho, something, anything. Do you understand?
It's a designated Shabbos robe. I don't wear it, though, I'm saying. I'm just,
I don't wear a Shabbos robe either, but that's not the point. It should be different. And it's based on the Kohanim, especially if we're making a comparison that Shabbos, when we enter Shabbos, we're like prepared to enter the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's go on. Shabbos candles. In the Beis HaMikdash there was, of course, the
menorah.
The menorah, the golden menorah. Rav Pinchas says there were two mitzvahs with the menorah. There's lighting of the candles, hadlakas neros, and there was the mitzvah of hatavas haneros, which was preparing to light. The kohen had to come every day and scoop out the ashes, or not the kohen, the ashes had to be scooped out. Shabbos also has these two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to prepare the candlesticks. They should be polished, they shouldn't be wobbly, you know, change the foil or whatever it is that you light and put in a new one, insert the candles. And then there's the mitzvah upon the woman. And Rav Pinchas calls the woman the Kohen of the home. That's what he says. That's a quote. The woman is the Kohen of the home. So when we're talking about making Shabbos like the Mikdash, it's really the woman's task. And then she is the coin of the home. She lights the candles. And then he says there is a third mitzvah. There's hadlakas neros, lighting candles. Hatavas neros, preparing candles. And there is the third mitzvah that what? There should be the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. They had to actually construct the menorah. And we find on Shabbos we have to have candlesticks. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash they had the menorah. In our home, we have Shabbos in a proper kli. The candlesticks, he says, are similar to the menorah. So we spoke about clothing. Spoke about lighting of the candles, yes?
In Hanukkah time, there's like a mitzvah to actually look at the candles and the aur. Is there anything like that for Shabbos?
Not that I know of, but that doesn't mean there isn't. The Shabbos candles, whereas we look at them, and it's an important part of Hanukkah, not important, but an integral part of Hanukkah is Pirsumei Nisa, right? Mm-hmm. Shabbos is the candles that bring Shalom Bayis to the home. They represent Shalom in the home.
Is there any rule or law about who prepares the candles? Does it have to be the woman?
It's supposed to be in situation when there's a married couple, the man.
Say that again?
Yeah.
The man. I can. You can email me and I'll give you the exact page number of Pinchas. I didn't prepare for this class, but it's very nice if the husband, in a situation where there is a husband and wife, and the husband does hatava saneros. So it ties into Shalom Bayis.
That's a Shalom Bayis thing. That's beautiful.
Correct. I didn't prepare for this class. However, since you brought it up, I will address it. I will address it. Hatavas Haneros is to be done in a traditional home when there is a husband and a wife, by the husband. Hadlakas Haneros is supposed to be done by the woman who is the Kohen of the home. And we already touched upon that the Shabbos candles are meant to enhance Shalom Bayis, and they both partake of the mitzvah together.
Where does the minhag of adding a light for each child come from?
I have no idea.
That's what I'm asking.
Well, we know the pasuk says in Mishlei, "Kiner Elokim Nishmas Adam." Maybe from there. That would be very nice. The candle of God is the neshama of man. If every person is a chelak Elokim Yima, if every person's soul is a divine portion, ner Hashem nishmas Adam, then when a child is added into the world, that neshama is represented by the ner, based on that pasuk. Is that the halachic reason? I don't know. It's a very nice hashkafic reason. Is there a different halachic reason? I have no idea. Okay, that's clothing. Candles. Well, first of all, what we're saying, everything that we're saying, I told you this is very much a shkafic class, but changing into your Shabbos clothing is based on the Gemara.
Yeah, yeah.
And candles, since you brought up Hatavas and Eros, Hadakas and Eros, and Shalom Bayis is halacha. So I'm not talking about, you know, cooking and preparing food, but what we have to realize is we're not just talking about nice ideas, we're talking about things that are very much rooted in the Gedolim and in Chazal, and things that have to be implemented and practiced. Bathing. When the Kohen entered the Beis HaMikdash, if he didn't wash in the Kiyor, he was Chayav Misa. The Kohen had to wash. If he did not wash in the laver, the Kiyor, the copper sink made by the mirrors of the woman, Rashi tells us in the Chumash, he was Chayav Misa. But Rav Pinchas also points out, he didn't just have to that was for his hands and feet, the Kiyor. He washed his hands and feet at the same time. He didn't just wash his hands and feet. He actually had to go to the mikvah, especially on the Yom Kippur Avoda. When we read the Avoda, we talk about the Kohen going to the mikvah. There is an inyan to wash one's entire body, and that is based on Maseches Yoma. And Rav Pinchas knows there's a similar halacha before Shabbos. If, he says, you can't wash your whole body, at least wash one's hands, face, and feet with hot water. But it is an inyan to make sure that a person is washed before Shabbos, and this is also something important to transmit to the children as well. Why do I keep saying that? Because the child should know on Erev Shabbos, so the person should know, we're not only bathing to be clean. You have an added way here of passing this on to children or grandchildren. Come take a shower so you'll be ready to greet Shabbos. You know, my friend told me that Devorah Zagladi told me when she tells her children to help her, she doesn't say you need to help mommy. She says we need to prepare for Shabbos. In other words, you're not sweeping the floor because I told you to. The Rambam speaks about sweeping the floor. You're sweeping the floor because Shabbos is coming. You're taking a shower because Shabbos is coming. So these are very, very real, practical ideas based in halakha that are very important to implement. So we did clothing, candles, bathing the table. What we're seeing here is that when Rav Soloveitchik tells us a Jew who properly prepared for Shabbos is ready to enter the Mikdash like a Jew of 2,000 years ago, Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham 25H Shemos, we are really on Shabbos rebuilding the sanctuary in space for God. Even though we don't have the central location in Jerusalem anymore, we in our own homes are once again every week taking Hashem's treasure, like Rav Hirsch told us, and rebuilding the Mishkan for Him. That's what we said when we're a shomer, when we're a guard, we're not a guard who's not allowed to touch the object. We have to touch the object in the proper way. Was your hand up?
No.
Okay. The table. In the Beis HaMikdash, of course, the Lechem Hapanim, the showbread, rested on the golden shulchan. Similarly, we have the Shabbos table. Our Shabbos table, of Pinchas writes, represents the shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash. And what are we supposed to do around the Shabbos table? A universal custom to sing Zmiros. He points out some... What?
I said behave.
What?
Behave.
Behave. A universal custom to sing Zmiros. This is very, very interesting. He writes, these are not just nice songs. It's like the singing of the Leviim. The Kohanim had their avoda, the priests, but the Leviim also had avoda. Part of their avoda was actually singing on the steps of the Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Pinchas says, if we're building the sanctuary for God, Zmiros aren't just nice songs. The Leviim sang in the sanctuary, we sing at our Shabbos table. And then he brings up something else, which is also based on Gemara. It is customary to place roses on the Shabbos table.
Only roses?
Flowers.
Oh, any
no, flowers. Yeah. Flowers. Sometimes I buy a few roses for Shabbos. Okay? Once I went to the store, this isn't me, this is Rav Pinchas, Zechet Tzadik Uvracha. He was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael in the south. He died in a very tragic car accident over 10 years ago, maybe 15, about 15 years ago with his wife and his daughter, and he traveled all over the world. His Sfarim had been published after his death in English, and they're very, very nice. There's one specifically for women, if anybody's interested. They're very readable, and they're beautiful. The one for women is very nice. There's one on Tefillah. There's one on Acquiring Torah. This is his book on Shabbos. So he says, I once went to the store. I saw some beautiful roses. The storekeeper was going to wrap some up for me. He asked me a very difficult question. How many? I was stumped. I know that a bridegroom buys 12 roses for the bride. How many roses does one buy in honor of Shabbos? Should I buy 24? Maybe I should buy the entire store. In the end, he says, I took 3 roses because it's impossible to buy enough. No matter how many you buy, you can never fully honor Shabbos and the Shechina. So you need a practical framework. I chose 3 because it corresponds to the Avos. I'll tell you, interestingly, I read in Rav Soloveitchik somewhere else, totally somewhere else. Rav Soloveitchik says you should buy 2 for Shabbos, one for Shamar and one for Zachar, one for guard the Sabbath and one for remember the Sabbath. Rav Pinchas bought three, maybe you could buy four in honor of the Imahos, but he says the main thing is, and I put this in quotes, and I'll tell you why, you should know for whom you're buying the roses. We have to remember, it's Hashem's su'uda, God's meal, Hashem's house, Hashem's table. Why am I pointing this out? Because there's two separate things. There's buying flowers for the woman of the home, and that's also very important. I'm not negating that. And the Rambam Maimonides speaks about before the Yamim Tov, before the Chagim, to buy presents for the woman, and jewelry and nice things. So I'm not saying. But buying flowers for the woman of the home is not the same as buying flowers for Shabbos. In other words, we should actually honor Shabbos with the flowers. They're for her. So maybe, you know, if you buy a bouquet, you could say six, you know, give to the mother, the grandmother, these are for you. Six, these are special for Shabbos. That's what I'm trying to illustrate here. Yeah.
Can we then assume that that relates to the Ketoret?
What did you say then?
Can we assume that the smell of the roses relates to the Ketoret if you're talking about Beis HaMikdash?
The smell, the Ketoret?
You had all the Kalim already, so this is a bracha on spices.
Interesting.
The Sephardim, we make a bracha on spices of the Kiddush.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, very nice.
No, I'm just asking.
No, it's very nice.
I see the other Kalim, and but you didn't say it, so I just assumed that.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question?
I'm going to send you the MP3, because you paid for the class and you have to leave early.
Thank you.
1 second. Cheryl.
MP3. I won't see you next Tuesday or the Tuesday after.
What?
I won't see you next Tuesday or the Tuesday after. I'll be back.
Mazel tov on the bar mitzvah. Yes, Yochaved.
Is it like a superstitious type of thing, or is it real when people say, don't talk badly in front of the candles? Like, be careful what you're saying. The candles are lit. You ever see that, like, with different
things? I never heard that. I have no idea.
Yes. In my background, yes. Like, that's how that generation was. And I always thought, is this possible? Like, I thought maybe you'd tell me
I have no idea.
Chazal or something.
I don't know. Okay, let's go on. In Zmiros, we say, Dahi su'udasa da'atika kadisha. That is from Askina Sudasa. There's a Aramaic Zmiros, Askina Sudasa, or Atkina Su'udasa. And we say, Dahi su'udasa da'atika kadisha. It means, this is the meal of the Holy Ancient One. This is the meal of the Holy Angel One. So Rav Pinchas says, I once asked him, what do you think this means? And the person said, it means we're inviting Hashem to our table. Rav Pinchas says, no, it's exactly the opposite. He is inviting us to his table. Shabbos is the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was the home of who, so to speak? God. On Shabbos, we sit at his table. Okay. Keep in mind, I just reiterated here, it is no small matter to be the Kohen serving in the house of Hashem. And Pinchas says, it is the woman who is the Kohen of the home. By the way, this is not from his book for women that he says this. This is a book on Shabbos Kodesh. It's for everybody. He writes, the woman is the Kohen of the home. We must ensure everything we discuss. We create the atmosphere and environment appropriate for the Shabbos queen and the atmosphere appropriate for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because Shabbos, we say, is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos, we move into an entirely different realm. Elie Wiesel, I saw the most beautiful quote. I'm bringing it to you. Elie Wiesel writes, a Jew today, that's the source. Elie Wiesel writes, I shall never forget Shabbat in my town. When I shall have forgotten everything else, my memory will still retain the atmosphere of the day, the serenity pervading even the poorest houses. The white tablecloth, the candles. By the way, when I'm reading this quote, think of everything we just learned based on Rav Pinchas of Salvechik, the Gemara. The white tablecloth, we spoke about the Shulchan. The candles, we spoke about the menorah. The meticulously combed little girls, we spoke about bathing and putting on clothing for Shabbos. The men on the way to synagogue. I'm going to read the paragraph again, I won't interrupt myself. I shall never forget Shabbos in my town. When I shall have forgotten everything else, my memory will still retain the atmosphere of the day, serenity pervading even the poorest houses. The white tablecloth, the candles, the meticulously combed little girls, the men on the way to shul. When my town shall fade into the abyss of time, I will continue to remember the light and warmth, that radiated on Shabbos. And he continues, I remember we spoke about the candles bringing in shalom, peace. The jealousy and grudges, the petty rancors between neighbors could wait. We spoke about Shabbos as a time of shalom. As could the debts and the worries, the dangers, everything could wait. Shabbos conferred upon the universe a dimension of peace, an aura of love. The Chofetz Chaim says, if you remember the pasuk I quoted way back in the beginning of Shemos, we said that Shabbos is an os. The pasuk says, ki osi. Shabbos is a sign between us and God. Excuse me. What does it mean it's a sign? Why is Shabbos described as a sign? So the Chofetz Chaim says, a sign indicates the importance and also the location where you are. He says a craftsman or a merchant posts a sign over his store, right? So that everybody who passes by knows what's going on in that store. You know, if you want a restaurant, you don't want to go to the tailor, you don't want to go to the shoemaker. The sign tells you where you are. As long as the sign is affixed to that store, everybody knows what business is going on there. And the Chofetz Chaim says something interesting. Even if the person who owns the store goes away for a few days, if the sign is still there, you know what? He's closed temporarily, but he's open for business. You know he's still a tailor. When he takes down the sign, you know he's out of business. Even if he goes away for a few days. That's what Shabbos is, says the Chofetz Chaim. When we hang the Shabbos sign over our home, we testify that we believe, he says, that God, what? We believe in Hashem. This is what the sign, the Chofetz Chaim says, the Shabbos sign represents three things. One, we believe in God. Two, we know He is the creator of the universe. And three, we believe He constantly renews creation. This is a Shabbos home, we say. When we hang up the sign, everybody is aware. Says the Chofetz Chaim, if we transgress one of the other mitzvos, unfortunately we spoke Lashon Hara. Okay, it's a common sin, so let's use it as an example. The Shabbos sign still remains. It's like the tailor who takes a vacation from being a tailor, right? You know he's still a tailor because his sign is still up there. He went away for a short while, but he's really coming back. That's Shabbos. I am considered, he writes, a Jew in every sense of the word, and God's holiness dwells here. On the other hand, God forbid, when one becomes a Sabbath desecrator, he removes the sign. All of a sudden, this isn't a tailor shop anymore. And in fact, we will say about a person, is he Shomer Shabbos? That is almost the delineating line that determines if a person if a person is considered observant in Torah mitzvos or not. Okay, so that's what it means to have the oath of Sabbath over our homes. Is it clear? The Rambam writes, he who transgresses the other mitzvos of the Torah may fall into the category of the wicked of Israel in Hilchos Shabbos. You might be wicked, but you're still a Jew in terms of the fact that we still keep Shabbos. He says that he who publicly desecrates the Sabbath, keep that in mind, publicly desecrates the Sabbath, is equal to a Gentile in every respect. We take every word of the Rambam very carefully. Rav Soloveitchik analyzes every single word of the Rambam. This is from Hilchos Shabbos 30:15. One who transgresses the other mitzvos is considered amongst the wicked of Israel, but one who publicly desecrates the Sabbath. We saw this morning there's a difference between doing something in private and doing something before Hesi in public is equal to a non-Jew. When it comes to Shmir Shabbos, we hang up a sign over our home. Now we said it's L'Doro Seichem, an eternal covenant for generations. Okay, so I'm going back to the pasuk. We said Shabsosai. We explained Shabsosai, perhaps reference to Shemitah. I don't have a Sefer Shemos here to look up the sources, but very nice. But we also said Rav Hirsch explains. I'm just recapping for a minute, ladies, before I go on. Shabsosai is my Sabbath. It's not a package deal. Every Shabbos is a unique gift, and it is meant to be treated appropriately. As Shabsosai, that's Shabsosai. Tishmeru. We have to guard Shabbos. We are a Shomer. We can't do whatever we want just because we feel like it. Ki Osi, it is a sign. We have explained why Shabbos is called a sign based on the Chofetz Chaim and the Rambam. Between me and you, L'Dor Seichem. What about L'Dor Seichem? So we have thus far discussed some ideas about how to transmit Shabbos appropriately to the next generation. You know, I was once somewhere for Shabbos, and I was with another family, and the mother kept talking to the kids and handing the kids daven Kabbalah Shabbos, daven Kabbalah Shabbos, daven Kabbalah Shabbos. The mother was not davening Kabbalah Shabbos. So if you tell your child, you know, welcome the Shabbos, here's the Chadodi, and you're sitting on the couch reading a novel. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with sitting on the couch reading a novel. Do you understand? But you could daven first. I think it takes like 5 minutes, daven Kabbalah Shabbos. Okay, if you have a lot of Kavanah, 10. And then read. If you tell your child to get dressed for Shabbos and you're still in your jeans or your jean skirt, what message are we passing on? The Doro Seichem. You can't transmit the Kedusha of Shabbos if you yourself don't embrace and enhance the Kedusha of Shabbos. And this is true for children and grandchildren, because grandchildren, I know we go to my parents' house with my children, it's certainly true. Okay, furthermore, what does it mean, the Dor Seichem? Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky notes that keeping Shabbos is a mitzvah d'oraisa, a mitzvah from the Torah, like any other mitzvah. If future generations follow our lead, that's wonderful. But he says, how can the Torah command us to make a commitment for future generations? How does my observance control the future of Klal Yisrael? So first of all, we've answered this already through the course of our class today. We've already touched upon many points. But what we're really saying here, I'm rephrasing it, is we don't only have to hang the sign over our home, we have to try and ensure that we hang the sign over the home of what? The next generations as well. Everything we have discussed is summed up in the Dor Seichem, making it meaningful, making a public Kiddush Hashem, making sure that we keep Shabbos not for ourselves, but for the future as well. You know, the Torah tells us, I have a few minutes because we started 5 minutes late. The Torah tells us, is everyone okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You need me to finish?
No, I'm okay. Can I ask you one quick question?
Yeah.
I didn't catch one thing. You said before one was to believe in Hashem, one was that the creator of the universe.
Chavetz Chaim said when we hang up our sign, believe in Hashem, know He is the creator, and three is that He constantly renews creation. We say in davening every morning before Kriya Shema, HaMechadesh B'tuvo V'chol Yom Tamid. In His goodness, He renews every day the elements of creation.
Thank
yes.
you.
The only comment I was going to make is, I forgot who quoted it, but someone said that more that the Jews keep the Shabbos
while the Shabbos
Jews.
Keeps the Jews.
And
yeah.
So I was thinking about that in connection to Dor HaTeichem. That's how we're able to continue on, maybe. I mean, maybe that's what
very
he's
nice.
Relating to.
And that would also tie into Rav Salvechuk, says we have survived 2,000 years without the Mikdash, but we would not have survived at all without Shabbos. So that's another way of looking at the Dor HaTeichem. Very nice. The first way we explained is that we have to ensure that Shabbos is transferred over to the future generations with all the aspects that we've discussed. But Lynn is suggesting, perhaps, Lynn, very nice, that the Dor HaTeichem, Shabbos keeps us for the generation. So there's two interpretations here. One is that we keep it for the generations, but another interpretation is that Shabbos, God's gift, keeps us for the generations. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. The Torah tells us in the first of the Aseres HaDibros, in Shemos, Exodus 28, the Aseres HaDibros in Parashas Yisro, Zachar es Yom HaShabbos, remember the Shabbos day to keep it holy. But then when the Aseres HaDibros are repeated in Devarim, in Deuteronomy 5:12, in Sefer Devarim, in Parashas Vaschanan, the verse says, Shamar es Yom HaShabbos, guard. The first time the Aseres HaDibros, it says, remember Shabbos, and the second time it says, guard Shabbos. And Chazal learned from here that God said both at the exact same time, something which is impossible for human beings to do, right? I can't say guard and remember at the exact same time. God said, however we understand that, guard and remember at the exact same time. Why do we need both? Why do we need both commandments? You have to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, Zachar Siyom HaShabbos the Kadsho, and you need to guard the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why isn't one enough? Perhaps we can say as follows. One can guard the day of Sabbath. Yes?
I have a thought. We remember it, okay, remember it with our spirit and our neshamas, but we guard it with our actions.
Very nice. Very nice. So the remembering, very nice, is in spirit, and the guarding is in practicality, all the things we discussed, what we do. Okay, so that's going to tie in exactly to what we're going to continue now and say. Alida, right?
Alida.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Thank you.
A person can potentially guard the Shabbos and not remember it. which ties in very much to what you're saying. How so? I cannot kindle any fire in my dwellings for 24 hours. I can refrain from doing all kinds of malacha. I can even sit down to my Shabbos table. It's possible to guard Shabbos and forget it at the same time. What does that mean? To speak of the profane, to have a day void of kedusha, of enhanced holiness. So this really does connect very much to what you said. I need both commandments because they're not the same at all. I need to guard the Sabbath physically, keep the mitzvahs of Shabbos, set the table, I do that physically, light the candles, but I need to remember the sanctity of the day, and that touches upon what you said in spirit. Because I wrote here an example. For example, I wrote, you can sit on the beach. Let's say you go to the beach on Shabbos, let's say. You're technically guarding the Shabbos. So it really is a lie that touches very much. Because I wrote here, but do you remember? In other words, in spirit, are you proper, the right shamar? God says, as Shabsosai Tishmaru, are you doing the shmira the way Hashem wants you to do it? I want to tell you this, unfortunately, we don't have time for everything I prepare. I feel like Shabbos should really be a two-part mm-hmm. class, not a one-part class. I don't know if Rachel would want to. Really, we need two parts. The Gemara says it's a very beautiful Gemara, and it really touches upon things we've spoken about. I keep reiterating that everything we're speaking about, even though this is not a halacha class, we've quoted Chumash, Rashi, Gedolim, Midrashim, and the Gemara extensively. So this isn't like hashkafic, it's a nice thing to do. This is very much hashkafic based fully on Torah, Lamasa. Masechah Shabbos 33b, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son hid themselves in a cave for 12 years. That's very famous. They were hiding from the Romans. They spent their time learning tefillah, and they were living off fruit of the carob tree, and there was water from a nearby spring. And when they emerged from the cave, they saw people doing mundane things, like, how could you be a farmer? I've been learning Torah for 12 years, you know? How could you be driving a wagon driver? And everywhere they looked, everything was immediately turned to fire. They were so zealous, they were on such a high level of spirituality, they couldn't relate to these mundane activities, they could not reconcile themselves with the realities of everyday life, and a boss call, heavenly voice came out and commanded them to go back to their cave for 12 months. They were not ready to be in this world. When they left the cave a second time, this is the Gemara, they came across an old man, we're going to finish with this, holding two twigs of myrtle branches. Okay, so it was twilight, moments before Shkia, moments before the approach of Sabbath, and the old man is running. What are the myrtle twigs for? Inquired Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. They are in an honor of Shabbos, the man replied. Why two twigs? And the man said, one is for Zachar, and one is for Shamar, and everything that encompasses. Rabbi Shimon turned to his son and he said, see how precious are the mitzvahs to the people of Israel. And with that, their minds were put to ease. That story really encompasses so much of what we spoke about. Shamar, Zachar, the ways that we understand it. We spoke about Shabbos, we spoke about flowers on the Shabbos table. We spoke about embracing both aspects of the day. Rav Pinchas Zatzal recalls, I'm ending, as a child in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, we had a neighbor who had a very menial job. I would see him walking around all week in his soiled work clothing. But when Shabbos came, he donned a splendid shtreimel and a bekasha, and with his long beard, you would think he was a rabbi. On Shabbos, I didn't even recognize him. May we be zocha, may we merit to guard each Shabbos, like we said, Rav Pinchas says, es Shabsosai, to remember what you said in spirit, and you know, everything we spoke about each Shabbos, to hang the Shabbos sign over our homes, because each week we are building a mikdash me'at, a miniature sanctuary, wherein we hope God's presence will dwell as he dwelled in the sanctuary of space 2,000 years ago. Ach es Shabsosai tishmeru ki osi beinu ubeinechem ledoroseichem. You must guard my Sabbaths, because it is a sign between me and you for all of the generations. And what you said is very beautiful. Ledoroseichem. We transmit Shabbos for generations, and she carries us through the generations. The Shabbos queen. Very nice. Thank you, ladies. The classes go quickly. Any other questions before I shut this off? Okay.